appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So far, God's holy word. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, in our congregation lately, there's been a lot of talk about Reformation. The Lutheran Reformation, of course. Here we are in the year 2017, celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. And we have big celebration plans in the works here at Mount Zion as well. As you know, we are hosting a Reformation seminar on October 27th. We will be having Reformation themes in our Bible classes starting on September 10th. And, of course, we will be having a service on October 29th dedicated to the Reformation. It's called the Reformation because the goal of Martin Luther was to reform the Catholic Church and to lead them away from the false teachings of the papacy back to the true teachings of the Bible. As you know, the Catholic Church still exists, and it was not completely reformed as Luther would have hoped. But quite a transformation did occur. God's plan to rescue many people from the doomed theology of work righteousness occurred through the transformation of hearts, a transformation which came about through the preaching and teaching of the pure gospel message. Those teachings of grace alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone transformed the world, and indeed transformed the hearts of Martin Luther and his contemporaries, and still transforms hearts today, hearts like yours and mine. In God's word for this morning, the Apostle Paul urges his readers to embrace transformation, the greatest transformation to ever occur, that happens inside each one of us. God's renewing gospel, which transforms you from a lifeless corpse into a living sacrifice, from a prideful sinner into a gifted member of Christ's body. Now, whenever we're reading in Scripture, it's important to remember context. The Apostle Paul says, "I appeal to you, brothers." In this context, Paul is speaking to people who already have the faith, fellow Christians, fellow believers. He's speaking to Christians like you and me. He is speaking to the new self within each of us. You remember this. In several places in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about putting off the old man or the old self and putting on the new self or the new man. The old self is that guilty and sinful flesh within each one of us, the self that tempts us to sin, the self that rages against God, the self that wishes to lead us on the path to hell. Before we were given faith in Christ, the only self that existed within us was that old self. But through the means of grace, through the gospel as it's found in word and sacraments, we've been given a new self, a holy and sanctified self that desires to please God and live as a beacon of his grace, live as a living sacrifice of God to the world all around us. Christ for us means that we've been justified, declared not guilty. And it also means that we have Christ in us, that we are sanctified, made holy to live God-pleasing lives. Paul tells us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And we know that in and of ourselves, we couldn't possibly do that. We're told in Ephesians 2:1 that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. That's a picture that God presents us with in His Word, and it's a powerful one, isn't it? In our sin, we are spiritually dead, lying on the ground, dead. Unable to even lift our hand to reach for God's grace and forgiveness. And we know that the world is filled with this kind of walking dead, isn't it? Not the zombie kind, but the kind spiritually lacking in God's grace and forgiveness, spiritually lacking in faith, spiritually dead people with no concern for God. So how do we become living sacrifices? And what is a living sacrifice, anyway? It's kind of a paradoxical term, isn't it? A sacrifice cannot be living, can it? The term sacrifice, of course, harkens back to the Old Testament method of worshiping God through animal offerings. But God no longer requires those kinds of sacrifices because those sacrifices were merely a picture of the precious blood sacrifice of Christ. That true sacrifice that God required and provided for us through the life and death of His Son. That was Christ for us. The sacrifice that God requires from us, from His people, is a living sacrifice, a sanctified life. As forgiven Christians, we're called to live Christ-like lives. Paul says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." It's a lot easier to be conformed, isn't it? In this world, we're so bombarded by sin and selfish human ideas, ideas that often cloak themselves in elements of truth, wolves in sheep's clothing. Oftentimes, television programs or social media sites or news outlets constantly attack this new self within us, attempting to fuzz the line between what we know is God-pleasing and what we know is blatant sin. Wolves who tell us that living together before marriage is not only acceptable, but that it's responsible and wise. Wolves who tell us that we are being unloving. And that's an element of truth, isn't it? Love. Love is a good thing. We ought to be loving. So when we're told that we're being unloving, that strikes us as something of an element of truth. But wolves who tell us that we're being unloving when we say that homosexual or transgender behavior is not God-pleasing, that it is in fact disobedient, when we know, of course, that God condemns all sin and that true love is pointing out our sins to our neighbors and urging them to repentance. Wolves want us to believe that God did not actually create the world in six 24-hour days, that maybe the Bible doesn't always mean what it says. What do we say to these things? How do we defend the truths of God's Word? The theologian Charles Spurgeon was once asked the same question. It was proposed to him, and his response became quite famous. He said, "Defend the Bible, I would as soon defend a lion. Unchain it, and it will defend itself." The best defense for the Bible is the Bible itself. How does Paul tell us to be transformed? He says, by the renewal of your mind. There's only one thing that can renew your mind: God's Word and the gospel found within. The gospel message of Christ crucified you. God's renewing gospel transforms us from lifeless corpse into living sacrifice. We're told in that great baptism passage from Titus 3:5 that He saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Christ's entire life was a sacrifice for us, as was His death. He was the dying sacrifice so we could be living sacrifices. Through His resurrection, He also raised us. Just as God breathed physical life into Adam on that very sixth day of creation, God breathes spiritual life into us every time we hear those promises from God's Word, every time we hear that proclamation of Christ crucified for our sins. We're told in Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. God's renewing gospel transforms sinners through word and sacrament and to sinless children of God. So when we feel overwhelmed by the bombardment of lies and deceit in our life, in this world, God points us to the bombardment of promises in His Word, the great defense that He gives us through His gospel message. He defends Himself, and He defends us, and He reminds us to trust in Him. He reminds us to be the living sacrifice, because Christ sacrificed everything for us. And as living sacrifices, Paul encourages us not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. That old self, that sinful self within each of us, is prideful. We're often tempted, as Paul says, to think highly of ourselves. Pride is one of the most prevalent and dangerous sins. The world today is very concerned with pride, isn't it? Self-pride or self-love. We hear a lot of admonitions for self-pride, and as Christians, we need to be careful about this line of thought, don't we? Again, because there are elements of truth in what the world is telling us. We hear things like, love the skin you're in, or you have to learn to love yourself before you can learn to love others. Or, you know what? Do what makes you happy, because you deserve it. The tough part with these statements, as before, is that there are elements of truth in them, aren't there? After all, God says, godliness with contentment is great gain. To be content with what we have and where we are in life, it's a very good thing, a God-pleasing thing. God also says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What a great encouragement and reminder. And we ought to respect ourselves as God's created and beloved children and not take these blessings for granted or look down on them. But we ought also to remember that as sinners, we are far from perfect. And the only thing that truly any of us deserve is eternal hell for our punishment. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. As living sacrifices, we sacrifice our own broken spirits, our own broken hearts to our God. We recognize our own sin and we turn to Him in repentance. We recognize where we are and who we are. In and of ourselves, there's only that weakness within us, but with faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, with Christ living in us, and He is, and abiding in us, we're filled with true strength. He takes the pieces of our broken hearts and puts them back together. We have that new lion-like strength, strength founded on the mercy and grace of God. The most important love of all definitely isn't our love for ourselves, but rather God's love for you. And that's what we cling to. That's what we find pride in our God. Have you ever had the pleasure of attending a full live symphony orchestra concert? It's pretty amazing. It's a fascinating thing to see all those instruments playing in harmony, that making magical music together. It's really a delightful thing. It's pretty amazing when it all works out. You know, by nature, all people are soloists in this world. We want to play our own tune. We want to do what makes us happy. We want this and we want that. We want it all for ourselves. We would never come together on our own. We can't play together. But with Christ, as one body in Him, we've been brought together, made into that perfect orchestra, playing together in the same key, in the same tune, making music for our Lord. We have Him. We need that maestro, that conductor in Christ, and we have Him. We're told in verse 5, we, though many, are one body in Christ. And Paul says in Galatians 3:28 that there is neither Jew nor Greek, There is neither slave nor free, there is no male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Like an orchestra, even more like a body of Christ that Paul talks about. We are all together, serving different functions, and every function is important. No two instruments make exactly the same sound. No two members of Christ function the exact same way or contribute in the same way. And as forgiven Christians, we work together in God's family, this family that we have right here at this church, God's kingdom, which is right here, right now, together, not apart, in Christ. It is our loving Savior who binds us together as His body, as His family. In the same way that all members of a human body share in the same blood pumping through all of them, so we too share in the same precious blood of our Savior Jesus, sacrificed for us, a precious blood which is pumping through all of us, cleansing us from all sin. So as members of the body of Christ, we've been given gifts unique to all of us, and that's good. Difference is good. Variety is good. We don't need a world full of pastors or teachers or engineers or mechanics or anything else. If your gift is to prophesy, that is to preach God's word, then preach. If your gift is to serve God by serving others, then serve with all your heart. If your gift is working with children and students, then teach. If your gift is a positive attitude and a joyful demeanor, then exhort and encourage your fellow Christians. If you've been given much in the way of blessings, and who of us hasn't, then give liberally back to your God who has blessed you. And if you've got the charisma and the wisdom to lead, then lead with accountability and responsibility and persistence. And if your gift is a tender and merciful heart, then have joyful mercy upon everyone, just as Jesus had mercy upon you. We who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, near into this body, so near, in fact, that we are all one, one body into which Christ is our head. So from a heart of faith and thanksgiving, as a new and sanctified self which we put on, we examine our lives, we see how God has blessed us, and then we start blessing Him by living a life of continual sacrifice because of the sacrifice of love which He has made for us. The Lutheran Reformation happened once, 500 years ago, and we're still experiencing and enjoying the effects of that, aren't we? So much so that we dedicate lots of time and energy to it. God's renewing transformation has been happening for thousands of years, and it continues even today amongst us. Through your baptism and conversion, God has transformed you from a lifeless corpse into a living sacrifice, and truly, daily, through our contrition and repentance, through going to God over and over again for His promises and His gospel message, we're renewed, time and time again, transformed from prideful sinners into gifted members of Christ's body. We have Christ for us, which means we will always have Christ in us. Amen.